Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
You want it, you got it. A very special episode of Off the Mark to discuss the number one wrestling movie of all time, Ready to Rumble. We are joined in studio with co-host Aaron Hughes and a very special guest, John Ochi. John Ochi is a huge fan of the movie, and we knew we needed him to discuss the show. We want to go over the characters first off. Aaron?
So first we're going to discuss Jimmy King, his character over the course of the movie. One of the things about him is, you know, he starts off, he is the biggest wrestler of pretty much all time at that point in time.
He's like the Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, he is pretty much Hulk Hogan, The Rock. He is just a huge wrestler.
An undefeated superstar.
Yeah, and everybody loves him, and it's just, you hate seeing him lose, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just, he is the Hulk Hogan, he is the Randy Savage, he is the Ultimate Warrior, all wrapped up into one. So, is there anything else you think that would kind of talk about him?
He's like Ric Flair.
You know, it's I don't know, the way they had his character, like I said, when it came out, you know, he is this grand vision of a champion. And, you know, once he gets to the ring, then you start seeing who he really is. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just love how he de-evolves.
Yeah, yeah. I really like that a lot, too. It's interesting to see how the fans love him so much, but the wrestlers, and throughout the course of the movie, I mean, they just talk about how horrific of a man he really is, of a wrestler and of a man. So
So it's more like Hogan than Ric Flair, because Hogan can't wrestle, and Flair, well, kind of.
And especially since he has a pretty weak finishing move. He jumps off the top rope.
Hey, you don't say that. To be crowned is awesome.
I will crown you. Crown us king. Next one is Gordy Boggs.
And he's played by David Arquette. And we probably should have mentioned that Jimmy King is played by Oliver Platt. But Gordy Boggs, played by David Arquette. What did you think of that character?
Fantastic. Completely insane. What was their job? They were septic tank business.
Yes.
I mean, insane. They work for septic tank business. They're eating cheeseburgers at the end of the truck with, you know, just dripping out the tube. And he's just oblivious to it. He is content with his life.
Mm-hmm. And he thinks wrestling is real.
Yes, he believes it. 100%. It is 100%.
It's not fake.
It's not scripted, nothing. That's exactly how it all works out. That's the best part. And then Sean Dawkins is played by Scott Caan.
Yeah.
He's actually another nice side, like, backup character.
As a side character for the two main characters, he's a perfect balance for Arquette's character.
Yes.
Perfect
balance. Yes.
He played that. He played that role very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what was the thing when they're in the septic tank business and when someone had to go to the bathroom?
He's like, if you
what's
do
that
it,
called?
What is that?
It's the removal of, you know, the excrement.
The good word. The excrement is removed through suction through a tube that they stick in the back. And if you do it, Jimmy King will get hurt tonight.
That's what I heard.
Anyway, Sal Mendini.
Sal Mendini.
Who's he played by?
Sal Bandini is, of course, played by Martin Landau, who's a great actor. I mean, he's
phenomenal.
He's done a lot of great stuff.
Huge wrestling fan.
And it was just so interesting to see him do this movie.
Sal Bandini.
He was a great, great character, though. I mean, he really was.
He was one of those characters that, you know, those characters, one of those movies. You'll watch, like, it can even be a mediocre movie or even a pretty bad one, but you'll still wait halfway through that movie just to see that one character. Mm-hmm. I mean, as soon as they go into his apartment complex and you hear the screaming, it's like, this is going to be great.
What does he say? I'm just finishing up with the high school boys wrestling team or something like that.
The local high school wrestling team.
They're all beat up when they get out.
Crutches and slings.
He actually probably is my favorite minor character in the entire thing. I mean, he did just a phenomenal job, and like, his character was just funny. It really was. So what was the one line that he said in the hospital, John?
He said, he's like, my prostate's the size of a cantaloupe and I'm crapping tapioca. I feel like a kid again.
Oh, and then we got DDP, Diamond Dallas Page.
Oh, God. So his character, I mean, you know, I mean, in the movie, he plays a villain. He plays being the, you know, I don't know what you would call him, maybe the Iron Sheik, you know, or...
The antagonist.
He's
just, yeah.
He was just, you know, just a really bad, bad guy. And, you know,
he was a heel in full sense, both in the, you know, the actual organization of wrestling, but in actual real life. I mean, it's... Mm-hmm. He played. I got to give him credit. I never really thought, you know, paid much attention to Diamond Dallas Page as a wrestler per se, and I didn't know about his acting ability. But in that movie, he actually played it off very well. I mean, I'll give him props for that. He played it very well.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
he did a really good job. And then after DDP, of course, was Titus Sinclair,
AKA the Eric Bischoff of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Except Eric Bischoff on, well, crack, if you want to say that.
Yeah.
Basically, he was even meaner, and basically, he's the promoter slash owner of the business and of that organization. And he basically would just say he hated the king. He wanted to get rid of him some way, somehow, and he knew of one way, and that's what he ended up doing. But what do you think of the character, dude?
Titus Sinclair, I would honestly say the weakest character in the show. I mean, he didn't really have that many lines, and I don't know, you know, him sitting there in that, like, you know, Native American Indian jacket he was wearing with the cowboy hat and the pigtails, kind of looking like a gay Willie Nelson, just didn't. His character just didn't fit. Of all the characters, I think his was probably my least favorite.
I think that they did that as a way to make you not like him, you know, because I mean, he was, you know, the heel. He was the main antagonist. And
well, you're right, but it's like, but it's more than that. His character is aside from his name, Titus Sinclair, for, you know, for a villain, that's an awesome name. But he's a forgettable character, is what I'm saying. I mean, he really didn't... You could tell... I mean, yeah, it's a fake movie. But you could tell his character was just too fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then also, we should probably talk about Sasha, which was the love interest of Gordy. And so she was an interesting character. She was a Nitro girl, and Gordy had a thing for her. And she was sent to kind of be a spy for Titus. And, you know, report back on anything that was going on. So did you care for her character at all?
Actually, I did like her character. I think her character fit very well. I mean, especially with the whole, you know, Sal Bandini getting jumped and everything. I mean, she really set that whole thing up to be, you know, to move the storyline in the right direction.
Yeah, I actually, in a way, I disagree with you guys. I didn't like the character. I thought it was dumb. I think they should have had one of the real Nitro Girls play the character, but... Well, I know it was intensive, but also you don't want them to come off as, you know, hoes because they're sleeping with David Arquette.
Now, who's the owner of the real owner of WCW?
Now?
Yeah.
Vince McMahon.
Okay, who was it back then?
Back then, it was actually Ted Turner. And Eric Bischoff ran the company, but then he left right after. I think Ready Rumble was released, if my memory's right.
Right after?
Yeah, I think so.
Yo, I would have understood if they would have put Bischoff in there. I think Bischoff could have played the Titus Sinclair.
Oh, he would have.
Yeah, he would have
played that perfectly.
Yeah, he would have. He'd been perfect.
He is a good actor. I mean, because, you know, he's playing a character on TV, you know, and I think that he does a very good job of it. Yeah. So, but let's go ahead and start discussing the first act, which we have Gordy and we have Gordy and Sean going to see Nitro at the very beginning. They go there. They see King. He gets screwed out of the title because, you know, he shows up late, and then. Titus tells DDP to, you know, go and beat the living crap out of him to win the title.
Yeah.
And then they go, they find King. You know, Gordy and Sean go, they find King. And then they get him to get retribution on DDP. Now, that's kind of the first act of the movie. What did you guys think of it?
Well, actually, one thing I did like is the fact that it showed that they were working men. And, like, they took the side job of David Arquette, how he... His father was trying to make him a police.
His whole family was.
Yeah,
like,
they're all like cops and everything. And I mean, I like that. And then they come back and they go to Cheyenne, right, for the Nitro.
Yep.
They go to Cheyenne, and I thought that was really neat because they're like nosebleed, and then like all of a sudden they get to come down. And all of a sudden, you know, they're going through the motions, talking in the ring, which I thought was kind of weird. They actually disclosed that because he's like, all right, give me hip toss, you know. And then like I'm surprised they said that because that's kind of like. A wrestling secret that
it's
unless
a trade secret.
Yeah, it's, you know, you talk, of course, and I, in a way, that kind of like ruined it not ruin it, but I was like, ooh, I wish they wouldn't have, you know, said that stuff. But
nowadays, I mean, and you can be a testament to this, both of you can, a lot of people know that it's now scripted. A lot of people do know that it's scripted.
Yeah.
But the thing that they, that needs to be, what's the word, separated from that ideal, that train of thought, is that even though it's scripted, it's still very dangerous and very painful. I mean, I think people is like, they get associated with being fake, and then, you know, they think that, you know, if it's fake, then it can't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the...
Oh, but one thing that I will say, this is going off completely sidetracked, but with the WWE now, their mats that they use, like, now are unbelievable. Like when the guys can jump in the ring and it goes with them and everything, and never used to do that. It used to be almost like if you're in a boxing ring, when you go down, it's wood and it hurts. Now it's more comfortable than what it used to be. But anyways, getting back, they do their match, and then all of a sudden DDP breaks character and just punches him and starts beating the crap out of him, literally beating the crap out of him. And then all of a sudden they, you know, like guys come in, they, you know, they're like, oh, we're going to, or was it the King's men or something?
King's
men. Yeah,
the King's men
come in, and then all of a sudden they all turn, and then they do the, was it the Four Post Massacre? I honestly, as a wrestling fan, I never heard of it until that movie. Never heard of that. Yeah.
No one can survive a Four Post Massacre.
And then, yeah, that's right. And then on the way back, Gordy is, is it Sean that's giving Gordy crap because
he was giving a little bit of crap, but they're trying to be manly about it, and they're like, your Titus Sinclair, stupid, dumb Titus Sinclair,
and they're crying about it. It was hilarious.
Now back to during the wrestling match, when Gordy and Sean's character come down. And, you know, they're sitting there chanting for it. You actually, if you watch the crowd did good too. I mean, they're all chanting, you know, because it's wrestling. You're going to see crazy people. But when they start turning on the King, watch the crowd's reaction then. You see violence. You see the anger. The crowd portrayed that raging mob.
I never noticed it, actually.
That's... Watch it, because, I mean, like, the security guards are holding back, and everybody is surging forward. I mean, Sean and Gordy barely had a room in the camera shot to actually do their part, their skit. Mm-hmm. And during that match was, I mean, yeah, they did the inside of how it's done, but the way it played out, I mean, having everybody come out. I mean, now it's 4-on or 5-on-1. They're beating them. Kingsmen come out. Now it's like, what, 8-on-1? Mm-hmm. And it really showed the viewer... if they want to destroy somebody's character, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
And then they find King, and then they do go to the next Nitro, and they attack DDP, and then he pins him in the back, and then, you know.
Well, you forgot about the most the best part is when they're driving their septic tank truck home. and they slip and fall, and it goes everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then ironically, there is a semi filled with TP.
TP. This was something where you're like, you could see it happening, and it did, mm-hmm. and it's just better for it.
Yeah. So then they end up walking home, all the way home, and then they go, that's when they start to go look for King. For King.
Yeah.
Because they had the bracelets. What would King do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. What would King do?
WWKD.
And then,
I got to.
And then he went. And then he found that one nerd that got him an address. wasn't he like wrestling with some action figures?
It's pretty funny. But they go. They finally find King. They get to Nitro.
Yep.
And then they go and they he gets retribution. He attacks DDP, and then that's the end of the first act, because they set it up where they're going to actually fight at a pay-per-view. And, you know, as you saw with the match earlier, it was a street fight. It was a real fight. Mm-hmm. So they have to go. They find King. He gets his retribution, and then they start the second act, which is the training.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes. He starts training with Sal Bandini. Then they go to Wyoming. They start training in Wyoming. And then Gordy ends up leaving the pack because his dad makes them. So second act, what do you guys think?
Second act went through pretty fast, I thought. Second act was actually pretty good, because that's right, they went back to Lusk. Mm-hmm. And in Lusk they started getting they're trying to get a crew to come with, because they couldn't get other wrestlers to help them out. So they got like with the Spitter, the hot chick.
Well, actually, before that, you're jumping.
I'm jumping again.
Yeah, there's a. I mean, before they even go get the Lusk, mm-hmm. as they're driving, you know, it's the King's driving, and all of a sudden he just veers off the road and goes back to an earlier part in the show where they went to his ex-wife's house with his mm-hmm. son. And, I mean, at that's the point. I mean, that's after, like, they find him in the sewers and, you know, and he's, like, you know, trying. Well, they had, like two shots of whiskey and some eggs or something like that. But it's, you know, at that point when he's, I mean, that point when he's drinking, it's like when he's down at his lowest. And now he's starting to climb back up, and the first step was going back to his mm-hmm. ex-wife to apologize.
Seeing his son with the messed up teeth.
God, look at that grill. Look at that boy, damn fine dentist.
I just thought it was funny because the one chick would always itch her. But, yeah, so basically, yeah, they go back to Lust then, and they get their crew together. A lot of funny stuff there, I thought.
Still think wrestling's fake?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, Gordy decides that he wants to be a police officer. All of a sudden, it's like, what the heck? That it didn't make sense. He's like, no, it's all childish and stuff, and I can't chase the stream. Blah, blah, blah. So he decides to stay. Well, then of course you got the King, and you only have Sean in his corner, and that's a pay per view. It's a 3-tier steel cage. Which they actually really used at a pay-per-view a couple times. Yeah, actually.
I thought that's the start of course of the third act. You know, when they get to the pay-per-view, and mm-hmm. then you have the triple cage match, which of course is just amazing. I mean, it's just I think the concept of it is awesome. I really wish they would use it still in wrestling today. But and then Gordy returns from being a police officer. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the climax of the movie, we have King win the belt.
Yeah, but the thing is, here's what I didn't get, all right? So the police squad is watching it on a TV with rabbit ears. It's a pay-per-view.
Every time I see it, I think the exact same thing. Not only that, but, and this is a subplot, you know, with the two girls who work at the restaurant that they always go through. Well, at the very end of the movie, the one girl who he ended up sleeping with, that Sean ended up sleeping with, mm-hmm. She's watching the pay-per-view on the monitor in the restaurant. And she's like jumping up and down saying, I love you, Sean. It's like, this isn't on Nitro, okay? This isn't on TNT. This isn't Thunder. It's not on TBS.
Somehow they got $35 and they got the feed through the,
the drive. Yeah.
It's Wyoming. It's way out of the middle of nowhere. You got to do what you got to do to watch your wrestling.
That is true. That is true.
My favorite part is the old lady who's watching it with like the latex outfit.
Yes.
I mean, I'd never been more turned on in my life.
So the third act, what did you think of?
Well, what about DDP going all the way through the cages, dude?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he really took that bump, but it wasn't as bad.
Yeah. So, but what did you think, though, of the third act?
Third act overall, I mean, it was all right. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I just, I don't know.
Well, it's okay. The third act, I mean, it's this movie, the way it progresses very fluidly. It progresses very fluidly. When I say that, I mean, it goes, like Aaron's put this down, in Act 1, 2, and 3. Once it transitions to Act 3, everybody is, they're prepared. King is, somewhat actually ready for this. He's been training. Sean's there to support him. Now he's got his new, his new persona as, the slick-dressed, his manager.
Okay.
But,
Sean Sugar Daddy.
Sean Sugar Daddy
Dawkins.
Yeah, but I mean, it's you see this transformation of these characters into something that's actual. You know, it's an actual physical persona that you see these characters transformed into something that could actually pull this off. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they don't have that much help. I mean, yeah, they've got the fireman? They've got the spitter. Then they got Miss Kitty. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do, boob me to death?
But then all of a sudden you had Booker T, Billy Kidman come out.
Goldberg. I mean, that part right there, you're mm-hmm. like, okay, now he's good. And you see, mm-hmm. He's like trying to open the cage. But that's, I mean, when they entered Gordy with the, you know, the bike and the wrestling cop outfit, I mean, that was even better, because, I mean, like, they one-upped it by having Goldberg and all the other wrestlers come out, but then they upped it again by having Gordy come out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, of course, Sting appears at the very end and mm-hmm. knocks DDP off the very top of the cage.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, I mean, you have a lot of wrestlers in there, and it was, you know, it was pretty fun. So what are your overall thoughts on the movie, John?
Hugely underrated.
Hugely.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Most people don't even know what that movie is. Unless you're like a severe wrestling fan, they don't know what it is.
Did that come out for HD DVD?
Probably.
Dang it, I need to get it. Anyway.
But yeah, I think it's really underrated. I think it's one of the best movies when it comes to the wrestling genre to come out. I mean, it's the mix between drama and comedy and action, because there's a lot of action in that movie. It was blended well. It was really blended well. I mean, you really saw a progression in story and character. So,
and I guess like my thoughts on the movie were, you know, I always thought it was kind of a fun movie. To me, it's a good bad movie. It's a movie you are not going to get the type of acting that you would get in like The Wrestler or like a Dark Knight or, you know, any of those type of movies that are just, you know, very, you know, well budgeted, very well put together. But this movie is still, it's fun. And if you like wrestling, and I mean, listening to this podcast, you have to like wrestling. I would highly, highly recommend to take a look at the movie if you haven't already. Or if you haven't watched it in a few years, you know, go back and see it again. So, Andy?
You know, I was disappointed they didn't shoot it for HD DVD release back in the day, because I actually bought one of those players. But it actually did come out for Blu-ray, right?
Probably.
Yeah. If it hasn't, it should. And they should actually scale that up to 4K, because I think it's that good of a movie. I can't tell you how many nights that, especially when I was living in DeKalb, but I was like, man, I really wish I could watch a good movie. Red Rebel. Every time. Didn't matter. I always had to watch it, because it's just one of those films that, like, you could sit back and watch and laugh and be like, man, this is horrible, but it's so funny. Hey, that guy became world champion in real life, David Arquette. Mistake. But honestly, it's probably one of my favorite wrestling movies. Actually, it's my number one. I know some people say The Wrestler was so good. It was, but it was more realistic, and this is more comedy driven.
Yeah.
And I had a lot. There's so many times that I've knocked a couple back and started watching it and just started laughing the entire time. Just some of the dumb jokes. Horrible, just dumb jokes that are just so funny to me.
Yeah, Jimmy King's the greatest. Yeah.
But anyways, first off, I just want to say, I want to thank, you know, of course, all of our fans that are listening to the show. I also want to thank Station 86 and 86 Productions. I also want to thank John Ochi and Aaron Hughes for coming in the studio and giving their perspective on the show. Any last words, John?
Thanks for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure.
Aaron,
it's great to finally be in studio.
And for John Ochi and Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes, and we're tagging out.